Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Today I'm really excited to sit down with Maddie Sakala and Emily Grove, who are, well, Emily's going into her final year of uni and Maddie is almost about to graduate, which is really exciting. Today we're going to chat about their absolutely awesome adventure overseas with Australia EMS to America. We're going to talk about how they got there, what they did and what they've learnt, and how other people can get involved in it and would they recommend it. So thanks for jumping on, girls. It's really awesome to have you on. Would you like to introduce yourself just a little bit more than what I have for you guys?
Sure, Emily.
Firstly, thank you so much for having us. Like, this is totally new for both of us and we're stoked to be here. But pretty much, yeah, I'm going into my fourth year at uni, doing the double degree with nursing and finishing off next year. And yeah, I was able to go on this experience just to see the world a bit and see what else is out there. And it was amazing. Like, it was a fluke.
It was really awesome.
Yeah, to get on, and it was great. How about you?
Maddie? I'm Maddie, as mentioned. I'm in my final year, so almost about to be graduating in a couple of weeks, currently on placement, so I am very exhausted at the moment, working and on road. All parish students know about this one. But yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad to have you guys on. Yeah, and it's awesome to be able to talk to you guys from, you know, halfway around the world to do this. So this is fantastic. So you guys said you went to America, so that was back in July. How did you find out about it? How did you apply for it? What was this process? Walk me through it.
Emily, you go.
I honestly can't thank you enough. I've been listening to you pretty much since the start when I found out, and you've had Australia EMS on a few times, and it was the episode talking about attitude and sort of traits that make a good student. And in that conversation, they were talking about some of their tours they did. And that was, I was like, really? Like, you can do that sort of thing? Because to me, I thought, you go to uni, you go on placement, you try to get a few extracurriculars in, and you graduate, give it your best shot. But I thought, wow, like, and that was still in, I think, end of 2020. So none of it was open yet. But I gave the team a follow on Instagram, and then eventually saw them advertising about it, and I could have sort of thought, I don't know what I've got going for me to get onto this. I think it was the last day that their applications were open. I was talking to my mum about it. She was like, well, you're not going to go if you don't apply, so you may as well. Mm-hmm. So I spent the day writing up an application and was lucky enough to get through, and it was the best time. So yeah, found out through you and all of your network. So thank you so much for that and what you do for every student listening. It's great.
Students. I'm a little bit the same. I was probably following some paramedics on social media, and I saw a couple of their posts like recently, and I'd been speaking to them and they were telling me about it, and they said, oh, like, it's not happening over like 2020, 2021 sort of period because of COVID. And I thought, oh, like, I'm never going to be able to do something like this. But one night, I think I was actually on placement and I was writing an assignment in my spare time, and I decided to scroll on Instagram, was procrastinating a little bit. And then I saw the post come up and I thought, no, this can't be real. And then I actually applied, and here we are. 2 months later, we've been on the trip, and it was like the best experience of my life.
So, yeah, 100%. Awesome. Couldn't agree more.
That's fantastic. And I think you both bring up great points there in terms of, you know, these opportunities arise, but if you don't take them, you'll never know. So, you know, the fact like you said, Emily, if you sit there and you're like, oh, you know, what have I got going for me to apply for this? You won't know until you actually do it, which is absolutely awesome. You've come out with it, you know, such an amazing experience.
And I mean, at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen is that you've got a fresh cover letter and CV to go for the next thing. So,
exactly. And you know, and you're like the only one that knows you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone knows.
Exactly. And I think it's the same thing in the sense of when you give anything a go, realistically, the worst thing that's going to happen is either you don't get to do it or you don't get to do it. There's literally no other, like, there's nothing bad that's going to come out of just attempting or applying, which is really cool. So that's really great. So you guys obviously got onto it, you got the application in, you went on it. So where did you go in America and what did you do?
Cool. So we started in good old Vegas. We were there for, so we were in each like state for 1 week. So we started in Vegas, then we went to LA, and then we finished in San Diego. So do you want to talk about what we did?
Yeah, for sure. So we were in Vegas for the 4th of July weekend, which was great exposure. I mean, EMS side of things, it's a crazy area. But also, I guess something I learned from being there is that I had such a predisposed idea of what I thought Vegas was.
Oh yeah,
I'd never been to the States. To me, it's casino central, which it is. But there's also a whole side that feeds that sort of culture, which is really, it's like complete poverty. So they'll have the strip and everything sort of goes to feed that, but then it leaves a huge population with very, like, a huge homeless population and obviously lots of EMS work within that. So I guess it was, you got exposure to both the typical party life, but then also chronic issues and then managing complications with health insurance and what that means for EMS access. And it was really, really crazy. So we, while we were there, we worked with MedicWest and AMR, two private companies there, and did 12-hour shifts with them as ride-alongs. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. Like, I found, I guess the crews there, they really took you on as family and were keen to have you there, even if it was just for the one shift, always wanted us back, and really promoted the culture that we were part of their crew, which I think was really, like, really, it was such a welcoming feeling, especially because, I mean, I've had great experiences with placement here. I can't complain, but I've heard sometimes people feel like a little bit of a burden. You're an extra workload for that 2 a.m. shift with the crew who's already burnt out. But there, they were just keen to have us, and it was really, really great.
Like, on top of that, I'll never forget. Sorry to, like, cut you off. I remember my first ever job. So we were in Vegas and I had my first shift and I was, like, a little bit scared because it was Vegas and there was cops and there was fireys coming to this job. And I get out of this truck and then the police and the fireys, they all just come up to you and they're like, where are you from? Can you speak? Can you, like, I want to hear your accent. And, like, you're like trying to tend to a patient. And then you've got, like, all these services running up to you being like, oh my God, we love the Aussies. Like, can you speak for us? Like, I want to hear your accent. So yeah, no, for sure. Like, they really made you feel so welcomed, like, everyone, which was really awesome. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
They welcomed us with open arms. And I think that would continue if you decided to sort of continue your career path there as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how did you, like you mentioned before, obviously you had that stark contrast of there being a real, you know, strip that was wealthy or is built up in the community, and then you go to a lot of homeless or a lot of poverty. How did you find, like, the difference in the jobs there compared to here? And like you mentioned, you know, the healthcare insurance, and how does that all play over there? Like, how does that service work in comparison to Australia that you found?
Yeah, so, like, here in Queensland, like, we've got the one ambulance service. Over there, they have multiple. So
for the same city. Like, yeah, for the same. Brisbane may have.
So there'll be different ambulances. Like, how do I work?
Yeah, so I guess, like, while we were in Vegas, AMR might be contracted to the west side of Vegas, and Medic West might be the east. I don't remember which way it was. And then they aim to go to their calls that wherever the area is, but there is times that they'll cross over due to demand and that sort of thing. And I guess that's something we really learned about too. We visited a 911 dispatch center while we were there too. And it was really interesting seeing how they sort of need to have this multidisciplinary approach to managing all these services. Cause I thought, well, is there a different number for each one? Like, how does it work? 911, you know? And seeing everyone working in there was really eye-opening because they do have so many, but somehow it all sort of plays out and works out logistically, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I really was curious as to how their insurance worked, that sort of thing. So I thought, okay, if someone's homeless, they don't have insurance, do you refuse transport? How does that work? But ultimately, the casinos there donate so much money to the hospitals as well. that everybody is able to be seen and those costs can be covered.
I found it super interesting because, you know, you see America on TV and you've got all, like, most TV stuff, like movies are filmed in America and it's very glamorous and all. I really, really enjoyed the aspect of, like, yes, I got to see, like, the strip and, like, Fremont Street and, like, the awesome side of it, but being in the ambulance, like, I got to see, like, the local side. Like, I got to attend, like, I was in people's houses, like, American houses. Like, it was so interesting. Not that, like, it's very, very different, but it was just so cool to see, like, how people live. And, yeah, it is not as glamorized as, like, it is portrayed on TVs. It's, yeah, like, there are a lot of really, like, run-down areas. So, yeah, I found that, like, super interesting getting that, like, exposure, because like you can go to America, you can go on a holiday, but it's a whole different story if you're working in the back of an ambulance. Like, this is how people are living, like getting to experience like their lives. So yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's a really privileged position, hey. Like, people really do trust you to come into their homes, come into their lives. Oh, yeah. They wouldn't generally invite, particularly when people wouldn't generally invite others in. You know, we're generally pretty well accepted into anyone's homes, no matter what they look like. And, yeah, that's really privileged.
Oh, yeah, definitely have to take it as a privilege, being able to do that sort of stuff.
I think, too, compared to placements here in Acuity of Jobs, I found across the board talking with the group, you just got exposure to so much. Like, obviously, yes, there's the stereotypes with everyone having a gun, which I found was quite common.
It was a little bit too common.
Yeah. There was some people had gunshot wounds, that sort of thing that you just don't experience here. And I think it's interesting the discussions I had with mentors about management of that. And they were shocked that I was sort of asking, because, you know, they know we have great education here. I hadn't done my trauma units. And I was asking, so what are you concerned, you know? And he was like, well, don't you have to deal with this too? And I was like, no, not really. Like, I have to be prepared for it, of course. But not exactly a run-of-the-mill job, whereas I think somebody went at like 9 a.m. a Walmart car park because a patient was trying to find their keys in their handbag and had shot themselves in the leg, as you do. But yeah, I guess, yeah, there was obviously we still got like chest pain, the mental health jobs, all that sort of diversity. But considering what we saw in a few shifts in 3 weeks compared to all the placement we do here was crazy. And it was like, we're so privileged to be able to take in that opportunity and see that on the other side of the world as well.
On top of that, like, we do here, like, we work only in Queensland, so it's the one state, whereas we went to America and we worked in 3 different states. So each state itself was so two states. Like, we got to experience 2 different states in America, and usually when we're here in Australia, we're only experiencing 1 state. So yeah, it was really awesome. Do you want to tell them about the story when you were in Vegas and your mentor told you to like run behind the thing?
Oh yeah, I guess just really little
tell
thing.
Everyone that story.
I guess too, depending on where we were, there was some like very, very low economic areas. Some people were wearing bulletproof vests even. I was like, that's crazy to me. How would you, you know, work putting on a bulletproof vest? But I guess you gotta do what you gotta do. And we'd sort of rocked up to a job. I think it was an anxiety sort of job. And as you do here, rocked up. They said I could take the job. I was keen. Knocked on the door. Oh, ambulance. And just stood there. The door was shut. And I just stood there waiting. And my mentor sort of pulled me around to the side and was like, what are you doing? You need, you know, you really need to be social, like have awareness of what's around you. And I was so confused. I was like, not even inside yet. Like I thought they meant more being a bit of a detective and picking up on what's around the house to feeding into the patient, that sort of thing. But no, they just meant all around safety and not standing in front of a closed door and just waiting for someone to open the door. So I think too, working there, you need to sort of have an appreciation for the importance of awareness around you as well. And I guess the fact that that's something I don't usually consider, obviously it's back in my mind, but I've had jobs that we've just walked straight in. I think just so grateful to live in an area where that's totally acceptable, mostly.
My situational awareness has changed so much since being
absolutely.
There. Like you were saying, like you can't even just go up and usually we say ambulance or we walk straight in and we start treating the patient. In America, like you can't do that. Like you have to be really like situationally aware of what you're doing. So like now that I've come back to my Queensland placements, I really put that into play because, you know, you don't know. And yeah, there can be really dangerous places or people that you have to look out for. So
yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good point because you don't really learn that at uni. Hey, like you go D for danger. Yep.
Yeah.
And then you move on to, okay, now my response. But like it's, and you never go back to that. Whereas I find in the real world now, like I'm constantly thinking about like what's around, where's the nearest exit, just all these random things that I didn't ever really appreciate at uni as being such an important part. So that's really interesting you say that for America as well. Like having that experience is going to change your practice for the better, you know, in the future, which is awesome.
It was good that we got to do that as students, and it's not like we've done it. We've, you know, had exposure to this once we've already gotten the job and it's like a little bit too late. It's good that we're like university students, we're getting exposure to this now so that when we do apply, we, you know, we're able to put these into play and it's able to help us.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like that's why when you go and you're usually mentored with someone who's got a lot more, like a lot more experience than you, it's also mainly because they've got that gut feeling, they've got that situational awareness. Whereas, you know, I think I would have never 4 years ago would have walked, I would have been like, you just knocked on the door, walked straight in without thinking. Without, you know, and unfortunately it comes with, you know, good and bad experience. But yeah, it's really good that you guys are gaining that experience now.
But reality, I guess, it's something you should be aware of.
Exactly.
And exactly the same here, just not something, you know, in your uni sims, you have the bag, knock, knock, no danger, clear, awesome.
Yeah.
But something that muscle memory, I've almost forgotten about. Really need to reiterate the importance of too.
Yeah, character building. It was definitely character building.
That's really interesting. So you said you went to Las Vegas, and then where else did you go after that?
So yeah, we went to Nevada for Las Vegas, and then to California, and there we went to Anaheim, which is, I mean, the whole time I thought it was in LA, but it's just next to it.
Yeah, it's right next to it.
And yeah, we worked some shifts with Falk there, and they invited us to their headquarters and were yet again so, so welcoming. Obviously, they desperately need paramedics as well and welcomed us with open arms for us to return. So they really opened their sort of space to us to let us get to know their company and their values. And then, yeah, also had ride-alongs in Anaheim. I think there was 24-hour shifts there as well.
Yeah, Anaheim was 24 hours.
Yeah. And then it was great too. We did end up in LA doing the touristy things I think we're like 3 blocks away from Disneyland. So that was great as like a stress relief as well.
Walked to Disneyland.
We did a lot in 3 weeks.
Oh yeah.
But we did some more ride-alongs there. And I think too, that was the first sort of 24-hour shifts that a lot of us had ever done.
They were insane.
Yeah,
that was a whole new level of tired.
Yeah, and I thought, I as an EMT as well, I don't, like if I were one, I don't know how they're driving after zero sleep, code one to almost nearly every job.
Lights and sirens.
But then as we were saying before too, it was interesting seeing how like a friend of mine was 20 minutes away from my station. And on one of my shifts, I was lucky enough to have 7 hours of sleep and she was out all night in a very interesting area. So it's interesting to see the way their licenses work and how they divide work up to meet their, contracts and demands, that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah. But 24 hours for them was like a minimum, like people were on 48. Like I'm pretty sure it would have been maybe like a one-off, but this guy, one of the supervisors said, oh, I'm on my 96 right now. I said, what? He's like, oh, I just sleep at station. So like for 3 or 4 days, he's just been at station, like working. That's insane. And like, they're looking at me and I'm on like hour 20, like struggling. And because I didn't sleep on my 24. We just had too many jobs and I'm there struggling and they're still like cracking jokes, like having the time of their life. I was like, you need to get me home. I'm going delusional here. But yeah, it was super interesting because they're like so used to 24, 48 hour shifts. Like that's the normal for them.
I think too, at the moment for them with the COVID crisis that they've been through, there's a lot of financial incentives too, which is great that they are getting the financial compensation for it. But also they do just really need more heads in to help with the workload as well. Because I guess that was another sort of preconceived idea I had, that there would be less calls because it's of an expense to the patient.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I still don't really know how the healthcare system works with insurance, but if anything, it was the same, if not more. So,
yeah.
So did you guys just do ride-alongs or did you do anything else with, you know, your few weeks that you were there?
Oh, we were from the day we got there to the day we left.
We didn't stop. We had so many amazing opportunities. So, yeah, especially in San Diego, I think was our last stop, which really, it was the end. We were exhausted, but like we had so much more to look forward to. While we were there, was that trauma center there?
San Diego.
Yeah.
Stratops.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure it was San Diego. Highlight for me and a lot of the students there was strategic operations. And I don't think I will ever go to anything on that level again.
No way.
Such an amazing opportunity. Pretty much it was a training facility that used to be a film set. And a lot of it was based around tactical medicine, and they had a plethora of different courses you could take. And we did a full day long sort of basic tactical.
Yeah, like military.
Yeah, it was very a military approach. Mm-hmm. And so we would go in, we'd learn the theory, and a lot they in past tours they've done a stop the bleed course, and this is the first time they've done the full day one, which was just incredible. So we would go in, learn the theory, which a lot of it, well, for me, I hadn't done trauma, so I was very nervous.
You did well.
Yeah. You know, practice putting on tourniquets, doing, you know, needle decompression, that sort of thing. Mm. And then they sort of had a crawl, walk, run approach in our scenario. So we would go out into their facilities and, you know, they would have set up as, they had a full hospital set up as well, a like airplane scenario. It looked like they had a high rise building that would be used for training too. Mm-hmm. But it was set up essentially as like an Afghanistan village, I suppose.
Yeah.
In a war stricken area. So first we sort of went and crawled and practiced on the mannequins, came back in, had a bit more of a chat. And then we sort of went through scenarios we tried to manage, but they were still on mannequins at this stage, but still had like pumping blood out, that sort of thing, but a mentor there to guide you. So you could ask questions. How would you manage this? Did I stop it in time? What would this patient's presentation be like? But I think really the highlight too is that they had actors that were there completely in special effects. Like you couldn't get closer to real.
No, like the makeup was like professionally done.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then also just like the stimulus we had, like there's sounds of bombs going off and guns and that sort of thing and smoke everywhere and really high fidelity training, which was, it was insane.
You can't compare it.
And also I think I learned a lot about myself in the way.
Like how you cope.
Yeah.
So like at the end of like this day, we split up into two big groups of us because there was about 18 of us students. We split up into two. And the scenarios that we were running were, the patients were actual real people. Like these people were running around with like blood spurting out of them. Like they had guns. Like it was so intense.
Yeah, I guess we learned because it was different management if you're in the hot zone where there's an active threat. And then what to do if your patient's in the hot zone with you and just sort of like logistical thing, which I've never touched in uni, which was another world in itself. But I guess it is really true that you fall back to your training, and that was such it really emphasized that for me because I would just freeze sometimes. So as you were saying, we split up into two groups and ran these huge scenarios where it was a mass casualty incident. I think the first one there was an active shooter.
Yeah. There was like an active shooter. So you kind of had to go in and you had to like spot who was the active shooter and then like treat from there.
But also I guess like we tried to have an approach to it. We would have like a leader, we would set up a triage area, try to get everyone to that point and treat from there, or whatever zone you're in, treat arterial bleeds and get out. Actually having someone there screaming at you, swearing at you like it was the real deal, grabbing onto you, coming in and out of consciousness, like it was a lot.
Nothing like the mannequins.
Yeah. And managing that. And then I think the next one we went to, similar deal, but it was, the scenario was that there was a bomb that had gone off in a car in a village in Afghanistan. And so we would have to split up, find everyone, same sort of process. But there was also, like, the patient I was with was still in the car. Mm-hmm. And these role players were actually past military men who were injured in war, and they've come to these courses, so they actually do have amputated limbs, and the special effects are still going, so there is still blood spurting out of this limb that looks like it's just been amputated, mm-hmm. and then managing extrication throughout the group. And it was really, it gave such an interesting perspective after the scenario, talking to this gentleman I was working with, mm-hmm. and I sort of just said, because he appeared quite distressed, he said he was new to amputee life, I said, do you mind if I ask how you do this? Like, I'm thinking more PTSD wise, like, it just felt so real. And he said it was actually a part of his rehabilitation, like being slowly exposed to this in with the intent of training, mm-hmm. And still seeing on the line and how, I guess, medics are trained to help them as well. Mm-hmm. So that sort of slow exposure to overcome their battles too was really, really interesting. And just amazing that they come back and do that sort of thing.
That's incredible. You guys obviously got a really good experience doing that then. That's fantastic. Like, I mean, how many people can say that they've gone to a course like that? Like, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like you said, there was lots of learning from that. And one where you said, you know, you learned a lot about yourself and how you go under pressure, and the point you made there of, you always do fall back onto your training, which is really interesting, right? Because I feel like as a student and you're at uni, and it's like you said, Matt, as well, it's like, it's very different to the, you know, the dummy that you have at uni, obviously what you experience, but like so many people don't take training as seriously, or like in that classroom, they don't take, you know, that simple dummy scenario, and they don't, you know, appreciate it for how important it actually really is. Because like you said, like if you're falling back to your training, if you're not practicing in that classroom, then I'm sure if you go into that situation, that high fidelity scenario, you'd have no idea what you'd be doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. I had a discussion with Sam, who was one of the students that came along too, who was also in Queensland, but I met there, and he was talking about how the benefit of feeling embarrassed in class is really how you learn. That's something I took from him too, because yeah, I'm in a room with 20 people. I may not know 10 of them, but I really do learn from being embarrassed being called out on a knowledge gap, because I'm not going to forget it again.
Oh, you never
and I'd
forget.
Really rather not forget when I'm with mentors I may have met that day, with a real patient and family watching you. Mm. So absolutely. I know it's talked about on here a lot in your podcast to just get into it, but you really just have to leave your ego at the door. And like, you know, you may only be doing scenarios once a week, or if that, on campus, but really, really have to grab it by the head and go for it.
Yeah, I had a first year prac teacher explain to us. He said, oh, like, you really need to go into these scenarios, treat them like they're real, like put the bags where you're actually going to put the bags, like put the gloves on, like this is, you need to actually do it. And we all kind of, like, first year students were like, what is this guy on about, like, doesn't matter. But after this, like, I've come back from this America trip, and I'm like, all my pracs, like, scenarios at uni, like, gloves on, like, I'm putting the bags in the appropriate places, like, I'm standing where I actually would stand. Like, you got to make it super real life, because once you, like, actually go into the job, like, you're gonna freak out. And it's really important that, like you said, Emily, like, mm-hmm. you go back to your, like, the basics, like, you go back to your training, so that way you can, like, go back systematically, like your ABCs, and yeah, that definitely helps. So that exposure to those experiences was so cool.
And if you're already doing that, it's part of your muscle memory. Oh, it's less cognitive load anyway.
Mm.
So you're not already worried about where your bags are and your equipment is, while you also don't know what's going on with this patient. So it's just something you need to, I've learned, I really have to get into the habit of doing, even if I'm tired, even if I'm exhausted, even if I was 10 minutes late to class, I'm still there, and I still want to get as much out of it as I can.
Take it seriously.
Fully agree with you there. You know, now being that graduate, there are situations where I'm like, I have no idea what's going on with this patient. I'll just go back to my training and go back to the ABCs literally every single time. And yeah, it makes, it's so important. It makes a massive difference. It's that cliche quote of, you know, you don't rise to the occasion, you fall back to the level of your training. And it's so true. It's so important. And particularly in situations where you have no idea what's going on, you know, it's a chaotic scene, or you don't know what to do, and you know, you freeze. And so to avoid that, training is the best way to figure out where your level of like absolute peak stress is and how to avoid getting there, or, you know, notice when you are getting there and how to sort of mitigate those risks. And I think it's so important. So you guys, obviously that learning in and of itself is so important for you guys. And I feel like, you know, that's going to make a massive difference to how you move forward on from this experience. So yeah, you guys are already, you know, 10 steps ahead of the game, really. You've obviously learnt a lot, and you've already talked about quite a few of the learnings you've gotten from it. But individually, what are the things that, you know, you really are going to take away, whether that be professionally, personally, whatever?
We were just talking before, like, just the whole experience in, like, this was my first time traveling overseas with, you know, without parents or an adult. Just getting that exposure to learning, like, you know, a couple of times left my credit card at when you do like your passports and stuff, you know, like I'm a bit silly like that. So just getting that exposure to being like an actual adult looking after yourself. Like, we were in apartments, like there was three of us per like room. So just like, you know, looking after yourself, feeding yourself, going grocery shopping, doing all this stuff. I thought it was amazing just for myself. What about you, Emily?
Yeah, I guess I just have such a deeper understanding of, and I guess it's what a lot of your podcast is about too, that it's not, if you don't get the state service you're looking for, it's not the end. There is so much out there. And, you know, the guys with Australia EMS are doing so much work at the moment. They're amazing. Like, best group of guys I've ever met, I swear.
Funniest.
Really made the trip what it was. But they, even while we were there, they were spending hours in meetings trying to figure out logistics just to help students. Like when Neil was on, he talked about signing that pledge. They're absolutely living up to it, doing everything they possibly can to give students good experiences. And it doesn't stop at state services. Yeah. But I guess also just being really, really open to things. Like the end of the day, you know, there's times I'd be like, oh, we wouldn't do it that way. Like, why are you doing that sort of thing? But sometimes you just need to sit back, realize this is what they do, and you're there to observe that and not butt in and that sort of thing. But it's great after to share ideas. No, actually, this is how we do it, and they're amazed and that sort of thing. But I guess at the end of the day, that's how healthcare systems grow and learn from each other, and that's really important.
Like, there's a few things that, like, little things that they've done over there, and I'm like, oh wow, and I've actually like incorporated it into my placements and just other things.
Or I guess even just like system-wide things. Like, I found, okay, I can only speak from where we went to. The USA is huge, but little to no ramping.
No ramping.
Especially in Vegas and that sort of thing, I think they had half an hour to offload, and otherwise there was some sort of, I guess, what am I trying to say?
I don't know. It's kind of like Macca's, like, you know, have to get them out.
There was some sort of agreement between hospitals and services of how long it needs to take. But also, the way your treatment changes, because there are so many private hospitals that they're 5 minutes away, really.
Oh yeah.
So I guess I found we're a lot more holistic. You know, I found on road you worry about if the cat's being fed, if who's coming for the kids, that sort of thing. Whereas it was very get in, load and go, treat.
Very load and go, very quick.
Yeah, very, very fast paced. And also there are incentives for how many jobs they pick up in a day and that sort of thing, which is something to learn from. But also crazy, like, EMS rooms are a thing there. Because I was talking to my mentor about it, the hospitals can't bribe paramedics to come, but they can make their half an hour stay there very enjoyable. But yeah, I think it's just so interesting to see that while looking at, like, first world countries and that sort of thing, we're so similar. There are so many little things that make such a big difference in, like, their strategies to ramping and their strategies to call out times. It's really, really eye-opening. And I guess, yeah, just the whole different culture behind it.
That's awesome. That's interesting to, like, hear about all the different systems and the way they do things. I've only now begun to get some of the UK perspective, and it's interesting hearing your US perspective and then, you know, knowing what it's like back at home in Australia. So, yeah, it's a bit of an eye-opener. And I love how you guys have that experience already. That's really cool. If you could say something to someone about your experience, only one thing, you know, that you learnt or your biggest advice, the biggest takeaway that you had from your experience, and it was talking to another student or another grad, what would it be?
Okay, so I'm not going to go down a paramed pathway. I'm going to talk more about like being open-minded about meeting new people. So obviously we didn't know each other. Like none of us, I knew one of my good friends, and I met Emily like once prior to going on to the trip, but just
like a CPD event.
Honestly, yeah, it was very quick interaction, but we all met each other in Vegas essentially. And just being super open-minded about meeting new people. You may not always like click straight away, but you don't realize how much each person has to offer. Like every person on that trip had something to like share or offer, which I don't know how to explain this. You are putting me on the spot here, but everyone's like unique and individual. I'm not trying to be inspirational here, but
we ended up like such a family. Like,
yeah,
I cried for like 72 hours before we even left. Just like the amazing people we met from all over the country into New Zealand. And I think like we were pretty lucky. Like that first night we were all a family, but also too, like we were very tired and vulnerable around these people, but everyone does have something to offer and a very different background. And I think it's important to really, when you're in a group with someone, take the time to get to know them.
Yeah, like talk to people, ask them things. Like I just didn't realize how it's just so cool, like meeting new people, especially because everyone was from a different state in Australia. Like we had Queensland, New South Wales, South Australia, like everyone's life experiences.
And our Kiwis.
Our Kiwis.
They're always neglected.
Sorry, guys.
Don't worry, I understand that. Yeah. I live with the one Kiwi in our entire group. So we always just say she's an adopted Aussie.
Bless. Yeah, everyone has something to offer. That's mine. We got there in the end.
No, I love it. I think it's really important because like you can go, I started this degree being like, oh yeah, I'll come out as a paramedic and a nurse. Cool. Yep. Whatever. But really realize even with this podcast, like the more people you talk to, the more you learn. Like I feel like you learn so much from other people than you do from an actual textbook. You know, you gain experience through them and everyone loves sharing a story. So you guys, yeah, that's a fantastic, you know, thing about not just for paramedics, it's in general as well. You never know who you're going to meet and where that'll take you, but it'll give you opportunity to you know, do new things and open up your mind to things you didn't think, you know, were possible or you didn't really think of beforehand. It's a fantastic piece of advice and it's something so important because most students or, you know, people would feel really, intimidated to talk to other people and not ask that question or, you know, just open up that communication line. And realistically, again, it's kind of like what you guys said at the start, like what was going to be the bad thing about applying, you know, you might get a no. So it's the same thing in this situation. If you talk to someone and, you know, you find that it's not where you wanted it to go, like in terms of the conversation or the opportunities or whatever, or just getting to know someone else, it doesn't matter. Like what's the worst that's going to happen?
Exactly. Like Emily was saying before, like leave your ego at the door. Like there should never be like a hierarchy. You should be able to just like talk to people on the same level. And I just really enjoyed that because I think, yeah, we all got along so well and we were able to share like our experiences, like our life experiences. We all come from such different backgrounds. So
I think it was, we clicked really well because we all had very similar interests.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you dove into it further, we all, you know, there's like late night D&M sort of things. We were around each other a lot, but everyone had such an interesting, everyone had a story to bring.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
great. And even like
never a dumb moment.
Following off from what you've said is keep in touch with people that you meet. Like I've got lifelong friends. I've already been to New Zealand to see my housemates when I was there, but what do they call them? Flatmates to the Kiwis. But yeah, I couldn't honestly imagine my life without these people now. And it was only 2 months ago. I guess I'll follow on like from what my taking is, I suppose. But I think you really just have to take every opportunity you possibly can. even no matter how absurd it is, because at the end of the day, this is such a competitive field. If you're looking for a state-based thing, there is so much out there, and you just need something that everyone graduates with a degree now. Mm. And yes, we're so fortunate that we have such great education here that, you know, some places like America really look at our education system and think, wow, but here everyone has it. So you need something that is going to, on a piece of paper, stand out a little bit. So just like look for things, be curious,
talk to people.
Absolutely. Networking. And I guess like there were so many things going that I was like, I don't know about this, like a fire department rocking up at like abdo pain didn't make sense to me, but it works there. Like that's just what they're used to. Take every opportunity and leave your ego at the door, because you learn so much just by stepping back as well and then breaking it down and discussing it later. And I think if there's like people listening who do, you know, want to take opportunities and are interested in working in the States after, they, like, I know they will do everything in their power to support you through that, because I'm sure, you know, Alex, like the process of moving is a big one. And I think especially to the States is something that hasn't really, I guess, until now been laid out so simply, and they're doing so much work, and especially with Danny, who's amazing. And like the fact that even Danny came to dinners and took time to get to know us, like it just shows that they're keen to have you there. If that's something you want to pursue, you'll definitely be supported in it.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, this will be coming out basically next week, which is everyone listening to it today. But yeah, that'll be following the chat I had with Neil about, yeah, recruitment in America. And I think if it's definitely something you want to do, these opportunities are available now and a lot more easier than they were 20 plus years or 10 plus years ago, 5+ years ago. Like it's actually becoming a real opportunity to take on. So even just doing these awesome experiences overseas that you guys have done, I think, you know, you're gaining an incredible advantage for your own performance and your own outlook on the profession. So I think, yeah, you guys are doing awesome. So thanks for coming on today and having a chat and sharing your experiences. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. You can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.